it is always important when you represent, and you can just click through the first page, important to understand who is the client of an organization that you represent. This is similarly an issue if you're representing an employee against that organization. Having a clear sense of who is a client for the purposes of attorney-client privilege and ex parte communication means that the difference between being able to talk to those individuals and get information and running afoul of either ex parte communication or invading the attorney-client privilege. If you represent an organization, whether it's a university, a corporation, the YMCA, et cetera, and you're speaking with an individual, this is regarding internal investigations, client interviews, and the like, making sure that the person that you're talking to understands that this communication is part of the attorney-client privilege for the organization as opposed to a conversation one-on-one is very important in both establishing the attorney-client privilege for the organization and second, and just as important, avoiding the creation of an attorney-client relationship between that individual and the lawyer or the client. Because if you create a attorney-client relationship with that individual, you might also create a conflict of interest between that individual, your representation of that individual, and the corporation. I've given three examples of how lawyers were able to make sure that they weren't inadvertently creating an attorney-client relationship with an employee of their corporate client. In re grand jury subpoena out of the Fourth Circuit and United States versus Rule out of the Ninth Circuit, in both of those cases, the law firm had a written document which clearly disclaimed an attorney-client relationship between the individual and the corporation, and both of those courts in very different criminal contexts upheld that a attorney-client relationship was not formed between the individual and the corporation. Nestor versus Textron out of the Western District, this is a magistrate judge decision, deals with how to create an attorney-client relationship between the parent, the employees or the in-house counsel working for the parent corporation and a subsidiary. Very good example for those of you that represent large disaggregated organizations where you only have lawyers at the parent company, but you have separate and independent companies that are affiliated with it. Nestor versus Textron is a good example about how to create an attorney-client privilege under those circumstances. Not so good examples of avoiding the creation of attorney-client privilege would be Commonwealth versus Spanier and Estate versus Paterno. And I'll get into those facts when we get to a couple of slides down the road. You can skip to the next slide. And this is just a recitation of Rule 1.13F, which there's a corresponding rule under the Texas disciplinary rules. Essentially, you have an affirmative obligation when you're talking to corporate constituents, that is employees of corporations. If you have any doubt about whether they understand who you represent and who you don't, you have an affirmative obligation to give so-called corporate Miranda warnings to them. Next slide, please. The danger if you don't engage in those Miranda warnings is that you might inadvertently create an attorney-client privilege. Now, the general rule is that unless a firm individually represents corporate constituents, there is no attorney-client relationship. An example of that is Cole versus Ruidoso Municipal School District. However, there are a number of cases around the country that are accepting the idea of a de facto attorney-client relationship where the lawyer did not affirmatively disclaim the relationship and went further and provided what appeared to be advice to the individual corporate constituents. An example of that would be home care industry versus Murray. Next slide, please.